You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
On today's Engineer of Finance podcast, Mr. Ken Green goes into a series of things that you can do when you're questioning a financial decision. If you're not sure which way to go and the whole pro and con thing is just not working out, he's got some really good tips and tricks in here, as well as a lot of humor as to how you can approach a financial decision and make one that fits for you and your family. I highly encourage you to listen to all of Ken Green's Engineer of Finance podcasts, but especially this one.
So we were having fun talking about real estate last two podcasts, I believe, just talking about how that can be my wealthiest clients, real estate, not Wall Street. What a shocker. It's real. It's tangible. It can be a powerful way to create equity and, more importantly, cash flow. And I've given a few examples on the cash flow side, so it can be really fun. And then talking to how you can pivot that is that if you're not ready to be a landlord, how you can become maybe a note holder or do seller financing if you already own some real estate but trying to kind of unwind. Or there's all these different games. I can tell you, I have clients now that, you know, it's advantageous. They, in their gut, and I don't know what the market's going to do, but their gut's telling them here in Northern Nevada and in California that there's probably more likelihood that there's going to be a correction in real estate than it for it to keep soaring. And so they have an opportunity. So if you lived, and now check with your CPA / tax attorney, but if you have resided in that property for two of the last 5 years, you have the ability to sell your property and pay zero income tax and zero capital gains. And so some of my clients were really looking at the facts like, wow, you know, I could really create an incredible amount of cash if I decide to sell this property I've been a landlord on. And so, and it's like, hey, Ken, what do you think? It doesn't matter what I think, it's what they think. And so, and hopefully this is real helpful for everyone listening, is I like to help people like think about extremes. Tell me if I'm losing you here, but
keep going.
What I like helping people on is like, so think about the extremes. If the market goes up another 10-20%, and you can apply this to the stock market as well, or any investment, and you have this asset that you're hanging on to, is like, hey, for example, if you're a landlord, do you enjoy being a landlord? Do you enjoy working with the tenants? Is it still a fun process? That could be a yes or a no. So that could be an influencer there. What feels right spiritually? Is it a joy still? The other component is like, okay, this is just example numbers I'm just throwing out, but your property that you have, say you have a house that you bought in years ago in Reno that was 200 grand and now it's worth 400 grand, right? That's a lot of growth. And so now you're seeing $250,000 in equity if you sold your property. Now, of course, you're using a realtor, you got money going to the realtor side, so you're going to take a haircut there. But if you reside in that thing the last 2 or 5 years and you can sell it, then you can have 0% income tax, 0% capital gains. What a huge opportunity to, here's the extreme part. Sorry. If you could sell, it's like, okay, so you sell it, you make your 200,000, say you sell, just say gross, like assume there's no commissions, nothing, just keep the example similar. You have 200,000 equity, you bought it for 200,000 years ago, you're selling for 400, and you sell it, you have 200 grand in your pocket, but then the market goes up, here's another dream, another 100 grand next year, right? Can you live with that, the fact that you lost out on that opportunity because you sold a year early? And so that's the question you have to ask yourself, is like, can I live with that? Yes or no? Or vice versa, you decided not to sell because you think it can go up more, and a year from now, your $400,000 property, thinking again in extremes, is down at 300. You just lost out 100.
Right.
Can you live with that? And usually when you start thinking with extremes that way, and that can be a conceptual concept and analytical, because emotion always comes into play, can you live with that one? And some people will have different answers. And if you're more of a long-term thinking when it comes to real estate and you enjoy being a landlord and you enjoy that cash flow, and this is a long-term play where you bought property years ago and you're playing this out for 20, 30 years because you want you enjoy the cash flow, it's going to get better and better over time as the, as you owe less and less to the banks, right? So anyway, I hope that whole tangent makes sense on the real estate side.
Yeah, you gave us a good system by which we could make a decision if we were ever faced with that choice.
Any time I get into an investment, always understand the exit strategy before you get into it. Mm. You better know how you're going to get out before you get into an investment, number one. And you need to think in extremes. You need to understand the conditions. Like, where is it? What? How much can your stomach endure? Right. Mm. So if you get into an investment, how much of that money are you willing to lose? Whether it's stocks or real estate or all these other things, which I thought I was going to start touching on today. I guess not. but also look at time frame too. You know, you could get into an investment that is, you know, you don't want to say safe. I mean, there's risk in everything, right? There's risk when I take a shower in the morning. I could slip and fall. I mean, you've seen examples where people have slipped in showers and become paralyzed. But yet, I'm still willing to take that risk and take a shower every day. So I guess
sure your wife appreciates that.
Yes, I think a lot of, I'm sure all my clients, everyone appreciates that, right? So, so I'm willing to take that risk for the benefit. And so there's nothing safe, but they are definitely safer investments out there, I would argue, right? There's definitely, but one thing you can go into what looks like, and this is in quotation, guys, what looks and appears to be a bulletproof investment, right? Like it looks like nothing can go wrong. But look at time frame. What if you need that money in 6 months? You just got into an investment where it's tied up for 10 years or 5 years or four. And so when you look at conditions and how you're going to play the game, you got to realize, hey, do I want this money tied up for 6 months? I know, like, for example, you're going to owe a certain, people who do the 0% financing. Like I did that for our refrigerator. Understanding the spread and opportunity cost is like last year we negotiated, didn't want to have to. Did I tell the refrigerator story?
No, okay. I don't believe you have. So, tell us.
I hate being in debt to others. It drives me nuts. I don't like being in debt to people. How, with that said, though, I understand money. And so a year ago, our refrigerator took, and I caused it. I will never use the term knock on wood. It is always fingers crossed. But I'm sitting down, I think it was Saturday, Sunday morning, having my cup of coffee, talking to my wife. My business partner, you know, my awesome business partner. So we're just saying, hey, just talking about the remodel in the house and what's going to come down the pipe. And I've been holding off forever because I just don't want to put, I love our house. I just don't want to put money into that house, right? But it's going to happen or she will kill me. So we're talking about the kitchen and what she wants for remodeling. And I said, well, we can design around this Amana refrigerator. I've had it forever. Knock on wood, it won't break. So I haven't told this story. So it's a
no.
And then we have this nice silent Bosch dishwasher. I've had it for a long time. And it's like knock on wood. I just hate wasting. I just, you know, these things are built real well. I hate wasting things. I said, knock on wood, that dishwasher will last forever. And so we'll just build the new cabinetry, et cetera. You know, I love building things, and so I'm gonna build all the new cabinetry with and I love doing stuff with my dad. It's real fun. Because it's great. I overanalyze everything to death, and he just likes to move forward. And so it's a great combination together. He likes to measure once and cut three times. I like to measure 10 times and cut once. And somewhere with that combination, things come out really, really good. And right. So I was like, I'll build the new cabinets in this kitchen, and we'll build around the Amana refrigerator. We'll build around the Bosch dishwasher, because knock on wood, it'll last forever. Well, 10 minutes later, I go to get a glass of water from the refrigerator. And it wasn't working.
Oh my God, 10 minutes.
I'm not joking. Well, you have to be kidding me. And then
you have an amazing capability of saying things and having them happen.
Yes, I create it. It's like I tell my daughter, don't do that. And sure, it'll break. And then 30 seconds later, it breaks. Well, did I just cause that? Matrix. You ever seen the Matrix movie?
Yes. Cause that?
And then so sure enough, that night, put everything in the dishwasher, put the soap in. Turn it on, nothing happens. I was like, nothing happens. I'm like, you have to be kidding me. So again, I am frugal. And so I kept repairing that Amana I kept repairing it, and then got to the point that then finally everything just started going on. I fixed, like, the defrost unit fixed it. Thank God for YouTube, right? So you got all these brilliant minds out there, and they share stuff. That's why I love doing this with a podcast. I love sharing, and you put it out, and you help out people. You pay it out, you put it out there for free, essentially, and that stuff comes back to you tenfold. You just do right by others, and it comes back to you tenfold. And so I just love all the great stuff on YouTube. And so, yeah, well, that's great. That's how you fix a modern refrigerator. And then, so I do it. And, you know, there's some probabilities. There's like 99% chance this is it. But anyway, it fixed one piece, fixed another piece. Well, after 6 months, the processing board went out on this thing. It's like, okay, I'm done. There's no replacement for it. It doesn't exist. And so the dishwasher, I fixed that the next day. But that's 2 hours of my life gone. You know, but so now going back to owing people on that refrigerator, it was done. And so we go to all the different places, found the one that we liked. It was actually, I guess, a free plug for Bosch, and I don't even know if it was made by Bosch, but it has their labeling on it. But it's just a really beautiful stainless steel refrigerator, one of those low profile ones, or like a cabinet depth. So mm-hmm. This will look really clean. It's in our budget. Negotiate the best price because somewhere between free and what they want, it's going to part ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so, not that I like haggling, but I just, I don't like wasting money. So we get the right price, and it's like, hey, by the way, and this is how they rope people in, hey, we can get you want 0% financing on that. And so understand cash flow is king. It's like, yeah, I want 0%, sure. So you got to pay it off in under 18 months, whatever the condition was. I can't really remember. But I immediately went, when we got home, set up on my bill pay through one of the banks. I was like, okay, this thing's going to pay back this month because there's no way they're going to get me. Because if you're one day over,
right,
they're going to go back date from inception. It was like some ridiculous number, 21%.
Right.
What kills me is I think a $1 trillion in credit card debt right now. Mm. These companies know what they're doing, right? Yeah. And so, but my point is that every month when I see that bill pay go out, I just want to write check, pay off the whole thing.
Right.
But I have to fight that because I know I have it in other vehicles that are making me good return, right? It doesn't make mm-hmm. sense financially. 4, 5, 6, it keeps going. So anything above zero is better than what they charge me.
Now that I am really, really clear on your ability to say something and have it happen, this is what I think we should do. We should all invest in a stock that you say is going to do well.
There's numerous reasons why I will not do that. I have a feeling the SEC and FINRA and whatever other regulatory arm out there would be knocking on my door. So this is all educational. So the only thing and I've said this before, so here's a joke that could get old with the same audience. I know exactly what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. And it's either going to go up, down, or sideways, right?
That is a good one.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to do that. At least not on air. If you want to see me in person, I'll give you my predictions in person. So, but I'll go back to the real estate side. That's how I measure investments. You know, that's how I look at things and is like with extremes. Savings vehicles is what are the extremes? But it's not just about can you afford to lose this money, or what feels better, making 200 grand as a known today on that real estate example, or gambling a little bit on the unknown based on what your gut's telling you, what you're seeing in the market, and that it might go up some more next year and then sell, right? Mm-hmm. And then looking at, hey, what are the income tax consequences, the capital gain tax? Hey, income tax free can have a huge impact on how you save your money and how you invest it, or if you cash out. And so having the ability to have a $200,000, and this, again, is just an example, if you can just have a $200,000 profit and not have to pay any income tax or capital gains, wow. What a good head start. And this is right. Why real estate can be so powerful. It's so tangible. It is so real. When you watch Wall Street, I mean, it's a Nintendo game. What'd you call it? Red and green.
That was you. I was just repeating what you said. Yeah, candlesticks.
Right? Candlesticks. It's just one way to measure charts, which I like because it measures, and there's a lot of computers playing the game now, but you can have this stock every every reason with fundamental analysis why it should go up. I mean, great company, great car, for an example, every reason why it should go up. And it could, but you watch candlesticks and it just measures human behavior, and it could still go down because no one believes in it. But anyway, that's my big long tangent on who knows what the topic is of today.
You know, I think I know what it is. You gave us a tool to identify investments and to question whether we should stay in, whether we should get in the first place. And I thought that was really helpful.
We have to wrap it up, don't we, Tammy? For sure. Next time we're going to talk about, I won't even make any promise. We're going to talk about something fun. I want to talk about more investments off Wall Street as a powerful way to diversify your portfolio. Real estate, I think I've really hammered on the fact that it can be a very, very powerful way to diversify your portfolio. But now I want to get into some other investment vehicles. Maybe talk about what Mr. Bezos invested in. I think he put in over $3 billion into this market last year.
Thanks.
And so if I didn't bring it up last time, it's known as merchant cash advances. And a very, very powerful way to help established businesses grow and scale, and how it's a win-win. So does that sound good? Should we talk about that one?
That does sound good.
All right, good. All right, well, thank you, everyone. Thanks for enjoying all my tangents. Hopefully everyone enjoyed how I got onto the refrigerator. Dishwasher story is beyond me. But I hope everyone enjoyed today. I got a lot more pearls of wisdom to share next time, and keep it fun. So if you guys have any questions on anything, you want me to start answering some questions, maybe at the start of each podcast, I'll start bringing up a question that's kind of fun that I think will have a lot of value to answer. Not that they aren't all important, but we'll start doing that for sure. But I do want to talk about merchant cash advances. It's a very interesting game, and it ties to what Bill Gates said, you know, a while ago. Banking is necessary, banks are not. And so anything I rambled on today, all the stuff I talked about in the past, you guys have any questions, don't hesitate. I got some fun stuff on my website. Go to engineerofinance.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with others. And if you enjoyed it, love a great rating as well. And I love questions. And if you don't like doing anything that way and you still want some help, just call my office too. 775-624-8839. And that's it from me for today. And Tammy, as always, I would love for you to do the awesome sign off.
You got it.
And we're done.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for checking out the Engineer of Finance podcast with Mr. Ken Green and Joey the dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And we will see you next time right here on the same podcast, where Ken will again share his pearls of wisdom and ramble in a really educational way. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.